Right, we're in a particularly spooky mood today.
Spooky.
We've decided to do silly things like use a script. So I've printed off a script for everyone. There's one for Adam, one for Jean, one for Keith, one for Crumbly, one for fake Crumbly, one for me, one for the guy who sits on the stairs but never says anything, and one for that grey lady that keeps walking through the room.
Hang on a sec. What?
Don't you? He's there. His name's Irwin.
Okay.
Irwin. Hello, Irwin.
No, he's over there.
Can't see anything.
Okay, that's a bit worrisome. Forget I said anything.
I don't want to be here.
Welcome, 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 dear listeners, one and all, to this, the latest in our long line of Staggering Stories podcast. I'm Crumbly.
I'm fake Crumbly.
I'm fake Keith.
I'm Adam.
I'm Jean.
And I, yes, I am...
a little boy more in need of a slapped bottom than anyone else I've ever met. Okay. And not in a fun way.
I've missed you.
I've missed you too. No, I haven't. We live in the... we've discussed this before.
For the podcast, I've missed you.
But the thing is, Keith likes being spanked.
This is coming from
a
man...
have you got cameras in our room?
This is coming from a man with a pit of tape stuck to his head.
Oh, it's still there. No.
Yes, it's still there.
It's still there.
You shouldn't have told him.
Anyway, without further ado, spooky goings on in the lounge besides, it's the news with El Presidente.
Woo! Woo!
We don't seem to have much news this week.
No.
We do have some addendums.
I've got an addendum.
Which have been promoted to news.
Yes. They have.
What is your news?
Doctor Who news.
Oh, yeah.
Cytown.
Oh, dead.
Yeah.
It was reported on the Doctor Who Appreciation Society. I'm giving you a plug because I'm reading it directly from the Facebook notice. They were said to announce the ubiquitous extra and monster man, Cytown, has died at the age of 93.
Good innings.
Cy was best known as a Dalek operator from Frontier in Space to Remembrance of the Daleks, in which he also played the special weapons Dalek.
Mambo Dalek.
Yeah. He appeared in all manner of uncredited roles in Doctor Who, including a jail guard in The Three Doctors and a gate guard in The Sunmakers, notching up numerous appearances on television and films for over 30-year career as a supporting artist. Yeah. R.I.P. Cy.
We've all met him. Well, yes. Those of us who pushed Daleks from London to Brighton met him, because we were somewhere near Tower Bridge.
I think so.
Right, pushing these Daleks, and a guy suddenly shouts exterminate and comes trotting over and said that he controls them. And one of our number, not believing him, went, oh, what's your name? He said, oh, it's Cytown. And he put £10 in our collecting tin.
Oh, well,
which was very generous of him. Considering this was 1986, that was really generous of him.
I have seen him at a couple of conventions over the years.
He was at the Capitol a few years ago, wasn't he?
Yeah. And he was very good. He was he wasn't one of those people just sit there,
he had tales to tell.
He had tales and he enjoyed telling them.
Any more news?
Section 31.
Ooh.
What?
Cast.
Star Trek.
Yes. Yeah. As we know, Star Trek Section 31, which has been going to be a TV series, a film, a TV series, and now is currently a film.
TV movie. Yes.
A TV movie, yeah.
Will it make its mind up what it's actually going to be?
Well, it's going to be an animation.
It has released a cast list.
Yep.
And one of these members on the cast list is a Casey Rolle. A 32-year-old actress.
Right.
The reason why it has popped up in my field of vision is she has been cast as one Rachel Garrett. Now, that name might not be specific to most people, but people who you've watched Next Generation, yesterday's Enterprise featured the Enterprise C coming through a time hole, captained by a Rachel Garrett.
Oh. Mm-hmm. That was familiar.
So the it's a different actress, obviously, but...
Why?
Well, it's
it's a younger version.
The actress herself is 36 years old, so...
Okay.
The
right.
other actress now would be 80.
Yeah
probably.
Yeah.
Over 60. Yeah.
And it's also meant to be featuring Emperor Giorgio, who was last seen disappearing into the Guardian of Forever.
And popping out at the Oscars.
So we don't... Yeah, popping out at the Oscars. But so we don't... There is a possibility that this is placed in what has been called the Lost Era between the last original cast film and the beginning of the Next Generation.
That's interesting. Enterprise C, that was the Constellation class.
Ambassador.
Ambassador class.
Yes.
Is the Lost Era in Star Trek like the wilderness years in Star Trek?
Sort of like the wilderness. There's been a couple of books, but there has been nothing in the Alpha canon based in this period.
Mm-hmm. Okay. And that's the end of the news.
Mm. Any more news?
Have you got more news?
I've been searching. I've been addendum-ing-ing-ing-ing
up. Adam's got news. El Presidente's got news.
Potentially.
Yeah, okay. Well, lay it on us, El Prez.
Okay, well, apparently the Doctor Who specials have received Hugo Award nominations.
Ooh!
Wild Blue Yonder and The Giggle, nominated for Best Dramatic Presentation Short Form.
Ah.
Must be on the cusp there, short form. I don't know how long you have to be. Because these were... Hour, were they? I think so.
When are the Hugos?
August, apparently. Ooh. And they're going to be in Scotland this year. They move around the world. This year they're going to be in Scotland. 11th of August, 2024, Worldcon.
It's been a little while since they've had any Hugo nominations, I think.
Probably, yeah.
Come on then, boy. What's your addendum with Delusions of Grandeur?
Something that has always struck close to our heart is the fact that there is no more Doctor Who exhibition.
Indeed. Mm.
Unfortunately, it's hardly likely that there's going to be one in the future.
Ooh.
According to Russell T, the exhibition in Cardiff lost an awful lot of money.
Oh, yes.
So it's a case of once bitten, twice shy.
So
there are no immediate...
I could imagine that happening, actually.
It was a huge place.
Yes, it was very popular when it first opened and in the beginning, but as the popularity of the show tailed off.
And also, during weekdays, it was pretty empty.
Yeah.
As you'd expect.
Yeah.
It needs to be temporary exhibitions every now and then.
Mm. Yeah, which we've had with the Science of Doctor Who, World Doctor, whatever it's called.
Apparently, according to Russell T, it was once bitten, twice shy.
Yeah,
so there are no plans at the moment for certainly for a stable or long term exhibition.
Yeah.
Needs to be like the thing we followed up to Edinburgh.
Or something like
the one down in Brighton.
Longleat.
Longleat.
Mm-hmm. Like Longleat, where it's there as an addition to another thing.
6 months here, then 6 months there, and then... Like the American one like that, didn't they? Where
they put it on a lorry,
Put it on a lorry back in the last century.
Yeah, the 80s, that wasn't it?
Mm. Any more news?
My final addendum. Back to Master T of the Russells.
Okay.
He has prophesied the end of the BBC.
Oh, yes, I saw that.
Yeah, it's one of the reasons why they've done the deal with Disney is if and when the BBC ends, which looks like it's going to be soon, or he has hinted is possibly on the cards, who will survive, will be able to go on to other stations, other things.
So when is the BBC's charter being renewed?
2027.
Oh, blimey.
Possibly a matter of years where they will lose the licence fee, and then what's going to happen?
That would be very annoying for me personally.
Yes.
Because my contract gets renewed in 2027 if they decide to.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, it's not quite clear what's going to happen. The BBC itself won't go away, but it may change in form.
I think it will have to change.
Yeah.
But these portents of doom, I don't see it happening.
Yeah.
No.
But it's hard to justify the licence fee these days.
Mm.
So maybe they will go partly government funded for things like
There has been talk about being
service, that sort of thing.
I think some things being advert-led.
Yeah. So you have some ads and maybe you have a subscription part as well.
Yeah, which I think is going to be the way to go.
Because
the only reason we've kept our TV licence is because we like to watch things off of iPlayer and that.
Yeah.
And occasionally, I like to watch them live, especially if they're showing a football match. And that's mm-hmm. the only reason we've kept it.
Yeah, I don't know why I've kept mine.
Yeah. Well, because I checked the rules, because Construct Number One was whining about it.
Yeah, we had this discussion the other weekend.
According to the rules, you have to have a license. It's not just for the BBC. No, if you watch not. Any television live...
Or record any live.
Yeah. So,
or watch the iPlayer.
Yeah. So
but you can watch ITVX, as long as you're not watching live streamed or... Yeah. Or Channel 4's catch-up.
It needs to be changed because the world has changed.
Yeah. I'm seriously considering after Doctor Who finishes in June, just suspending my TV license. I don't watch anything live. I don't watch anything on the iPlayer.
No, nor do we anymore apart from the odd one or two things.
The last thing was Ghosts, which was Christmas Day or something like that.
I've got mixed feelings about it in that it does do more than just BBC One and BBC Two live TV.
So much stuff that people don't
there's a whole load of radio elements and and it's a bit like the NHS to an extent. The arguments of, well, I don't use it, so I shouldn't fund it.
Mm. And people don't realise, they complain... Oh, this happened and the BBC didn't put it up first. That's because the BBC, unlike a lot of others, have to verify the news and check it before they publish it.
But also, it doesn't help that as it's a public company, it's got to justify everything it does.
Yeah.
You don't get the chartered report on ITV. They can spend what the hell they like on whatever they like. Yeah. Nobody knows what goes
on. Well, they still have...
An element of funding.
They've got shareholders to...
Yeah.
Well, but even to have their licence to broadcast, they have to have a certain amount of news content.
Yeah, but they don't have to...
Yeah, but
They don't have to answer to anyone about what's in that content.
With ITV, you don't have to explain...
Well, sort of
apart from the obvious.
with ITV, you don't have to explain... Why you spent X amount of money to put this person up in a hotel last night?
Oh no!
Or why did you spend so much on the dinner for this wine and dine this particular producer?
I think the problem with the BBC is, to an extent, they are hoist on their own petard because they did get a bit silly and things like. The East End set, for prime example, you know, we're going to build the entire set and then it's going to go so far over budget, you could have built a housing estate for what they paid for it.
Yeah, but they get a lot of value out of that.
No, they're not, and they're selling it off for less than they built it for, and then they're renting it back.
But, I mean, look how many episodes, how many hours of TV they use.
No, it still was ridiculously out of proportion.
I think one of the problems is it's an institution.
Yeah. Mm. Yeah, but then there's other things, as you say, you have to pay for the verified and all the rest of it. I think, as you say, it needs to be an element of both. So I find there's a lot of stuff on the BBC I don't watch because it isn't got wide-ranging appeal anymore. It's lots of game shows, it's bits and... But there's stuff I do like. So having that hybrid of an amount of funding for things like the news, but then also a subscription service is probably the better way to go. But like you say, I don't think it'll disappear.
No, it's going to be much smaller.
Just needs to change.
I've always thought of the licence fee as being a subscription charge of some one degree or another.
It's becoming that.
Yeah.
Well, it's still cheaper than some of the subscription fees you're asked to pay.
Oh, yeah. It's, what, £12 a month now?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And you
which
get
is cheaper than the standard Netflix.
And instead of getting one channel, you get three or four channels and all the BBC radio stuff.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and the website, the news and all that too.
I think that's the other thing, because people look at it as, oh, I've got to pay it, whatever it's 120, but don't think of it in the same terms of what you would pay for a subscription service for one channel.
Yeah.
The problem is you're being forced to pay.
That's the problem. If you want Netflix, you can have Netflix, but you can also stop paying for it.
Yeah, that's the difference.
Yeah, I'm not paying for any streaming services at the moment, apart from Prime, which I do annually as part of my normal Prime subscription.
Yeah.
I choose not to at the moment because I'm too busy to watch anything, so don't pay for anything.
Yeah. Anyway, that's the end of the news.
It's somebody's birthday soon.
It's my birthday in 2 days, woo!
And we've been buying her prezzies.
They've bought me lovely prezzies, so I'm going to open this card from Adam.
Oh, see what the price in the back.
It's got the price in the back.
Don't look at the back.
Don't look at the back, Karen. Is that David Tennant.
Knobhead?
Is that David Tennant on the front?
It's someone who looks remarkably like David Tennant going, Alexa, send that knobhead a birthday card. Thank you, sweetie.
I know you like your Alexa.
I've got a present here.
She's got presents.
Oh, God, yes. It's his present. So yep. Oh,
El Presidente.
Be quiet, he says I was in such a rush today.
Oh, man. Are you ill?
You're letting the side down.
Right?
She actually managed to get into it first time.
No, I think that was a false hope.
Oh, was it? It was a dummy piece of paper loose. And she's unwrapping the paper.
Yeah.
She's ripping it apart. The rainbow reflective paper's glittering in the sunlight. And she turns into God and it sticks to her hand.
Oh, not again.
Onto Crumbly's head. Yeah. What you got?
I do have my uses.
Oh, you do.
Good grief. Well, man, you're making a meal of breaking into that.
Well, it's
him. Oh, you bought her a box.
Yeah.
Oh, a musical box. Yeah. Wound up and ready to play.
It sort of is a musical box.
It's a cardboard box.
It is.
She's like a pussycat. I'm just going to sit on it. it's a record.
Oh,
yeah. Four Seasons by Vivaldi.
Vivaldi.
It's awesome. Come on, where are the other ones?
It's on the spine. Ooh. They used to put it on the spine.
Oh, it's the Eagles Hotel California.
Oh,
thank you.
They regularly go together.
Thank you very much. And Jean got me some cushion covers, which is more awesome than it sounds. And Andy and Jane got me some classical music on vinyl music to read by.
Record. Vinyl is something like... Beckle.
Would you sit there and hoist your neck in? And Keith hasn't got me anything because he hates me.
Yeah.
Because it's not your birthday yet, and if I'd given you stuff before your birthday, on your birthday, you'd complain that you got nothing.
No, because I'm not eight. All right, part of me is eight. Thank you, chaps. Much appreciated.
Happy birthday.
Yay. Happy birthday.
Speaking of birthdays, we have been watching... Ghostbusters 2.
How does that...
It doesn't.
Okay.
Pause for music. I haven't seen this in years.
Yeah, 1989 it came out.
I was wondering when.
Yeah.
Haven't seen it in absolute years, and it's still awesome.
It's very good, yeah. I know at the time people were fairly down. It's not as good as the original. Well, it's its own beast, but it's still really good.
Yeah, that's what I mean. It has a lot of similar beats as the original, but it is still its own. It's an original story. It's its own direction.
Yep, it's the original gang back together.
Yeah.
And that baby is now about 35.
Yeah.
Well, unfortunately, one of them committed suicide.
Oh.
It was,
Downer.
I know. There were two.
Yeah, twins.
We were watching it round the Dunn's house.
Yep.
On a very, very big screen.
Yep.
On a high definition, about, 3 feet from the screen.
Okay.
And the special effects, is particularly with the Viggo coming out. Stand up so amazingly well.
For me, the only time the special effects slipped slightly is when the Statue of Liberty starts walking. But besides that, they're all of very high quality.
I agree, yeah.
Pre-CGI, generally. Yeah. There were some bit of CGI at that time, but not much. I don't think there's any in here.
Yeah.
It's all optical effects. It's all miniatures and people in costumes.
I wouldn't have been disappointed to see some of those effects in a film released today.
Yeah.
Well, I would, because I'd be going, look, I'm watching Wicked Little Letters with Olivia Colman. Why has that picture just come to life and eaten the world? But it was very effective.
And I like the fact with the special effects, and something that I think they miss now is that there's some real life effects. So in the courthouse where you've got the two electrocuted brothers, they actually throw, they've set them up, they're physically throwing the chairs out the way where the ghost is coming out.
Oh, the Escapelli brothers,
which gives a better effect for the cast as well. It's really simple. Nowadays, someone might say, oh, well, we'll CG that in. But it works better because it's actually real.
Yeah.
Well,
strings yanking the chairs
It's what I've said previously in other podcasts that we've done this, is Phantom Menace and Serenity.
Yeah.
Mm. They're both filmed at the same time. Phantom Menace got them to sit on a green hump, on a green background with green scenery, and CGI'd everything into it. While Serenity, they put them into the back of a van which was rigged up like a spacecraft, and swung the van around, so they all got thrown over into the corner.
Yeah.
I know which one looked more believable on screen.
Yeah, I remember the corridor crew did a bit on that courtroom scene, did the bit where one of the officials, she's picked up and she's dragged out of the room.
Yeah.
And if you don't think about it, you know, it's Jesus on wire being pulled out. But of course, there's actually the top of the door, which would get in the way of the wire.
Yeah.
I can't remember how they did it. Did they do a matte painting for the top of the door?
Yeah.
But you can't tell.
Very good.
Yeah.
It's still very high quality.
Yeah.
Also, I love the fact that, believably, they returned it all to zero, as in they got slapped with lawsuits and law orders.
So they've
fallen on hard times.
It was believably set back to zero again.
Because they ended the first film, everyone cheering them, and it's all going to be wonderful, isn't it? But Dana marries someone else, having dated Venkman for a while, and then dumped him.
Again, I know I'm going to get shouted at, but I still find Venkman, Bill Murray's character, exceedingly annoying.
He's toned down a bit in this one.
He's toned down, but he's still an annoying little oik who I would not want to be friends with.
No, probably not in real life.
I think it's deliberate as a way of...
I know it's played up. I know it's deliberately played up, but I just, you know, so it's part of the hackles.
Egon is back at university doing research. The research is wonderful. Let's give her a puppy, see what happens. Oh, puppy's lovely. Right, let's see what happens when we take the puppy away.
Perfect
for Ray is basically running the magic shop from Buffy.
Which returns in the
I think that's
current
it's
film.
In the trailers. It's definitely in the trailers.
Venkman is hosting this rather hokey sort of paranormal show.
Who has a psychic on it who was technically correct.
Yes.
We're more making fun of this psychic who said the world would end on New Year's Eve, and that's essentially what would have happened if they hadn't got involved.
Yeah.
It's a shame they didn't come back to something in 2016 for the other woman's prediction. Valentine's Day 2016.
When did Trump get in? She was pretty close as well.
Maybe. I quite liked what Egon is doing. See, feel like he's a bit autistic.
Egon. Oh, Egon, definitely.
Yeah.
And the fact is, he's there studying people's emotions.
Yeah.
He's trying to understand them himself.
Yeah, that's the only reason he's doing it.
Yeah.
Because he can't understand them, and it bothers him.
I quite like that.
And also, in the first film, Venkman was doing tests with the cards.
Venkman was doing tests so he could sleep with various students.
But it's
and giving electric shocks to other students as well. Yeah.
And Dana's had a baby, and she's working in a museum restoring art.
That's the only thing that sort of slightly...
why did she?
I don't
want
to say jarred with me, but why do we suddenly have a completely different profession for her?
She's a musician.
Wouldn't be put in a museum restoring the kind of level of painting she was restoring without several years of experience of restoration behind
it. It is a minor gripe, I'll admit, because they needed it to flow through the story, because that's the plot hook. But, you know, why's the sudden professional switch?
Yeah.
Oh, who's her boss? What was his name?
Oh, he's wonderful.
Yanosh.
Oh, he's such a...
So you've got Yanosh, who's got the crush like nothing on
good grief.
He brings this painting from the basement of
Vigo.
The Carpathian. He's basically Vlad the Impaler, isn't he?
Pretty much, I mean, he reminds me of Fronk from, what's that film? Yeah, the one with Steve Martin.
Yeah, I can't think. Father of the Bride.
Father of the Bride, that's it.
But he was delightfully creepy in a pathetic kind of way. But when him and Ray got squirted with the positive who at the end, and they basically formed a brohood.
I love you, man. I just love everyone.
They were right about one thing. Because there's this slime underneath New York that's feeding off negative energy. There is nowhere else in the world that you could... Because New York is amazing.
It's New Yorker's God-given right
to be grumpy.
And I think at that time they were just starting to get onto the gentrification of New York.
Yeah.
Places like Harlem and that, where we saw it.
Because there were parts of New York up until the mid-70s, early 80s, where if you did the tourist trail, they will tell you if the coach breaks down, stay in the coach. Yeah. Well, let them steal the wheels.
Well, that's like, well, Central Park. I mean, and so just so many gangs there and such.
Yeah.
I mean, it was a no-go zone after dark. I mean,
Not sure I'd want to go there after dark now, personally. But
so they were playing into that reputation that New York had, that they were turning around. But I think, as I say, the special effects on it hold up immensely well. It has a really nice sense of humour, which the original does. It didn't do so well in the box office. It still made its money back, and then with some knobs on. But apparently it didn't have the same kind of impact as the first one.
Well, that's understandable. So it's a follow-up and Ghostbusters.
You're never going to have the same impact as the first one with the second film, because everyone knows
they saw the first film.
Also a very busy summer of films.
I do have one question. How did they get the Statue of Liberty back?
I don't know, in the final
winches
scene,
lorries?
It's on its side.
Yeah,
isn't it?
Last time you saw it.
Well, no, the final scene, they were at the reopening of
Ellis Island.
She was back where she was meant to
Maybe
be.
Maybe they sprayed it with some more good goo and played it some more music.
Yeah, and she walked back. One little thing I did notice, which was kind of awesome. At the beginning, when baby Oscar's pram was out of control and it was zooming around the road, 10 years before Speed, the speed bus nearly hit it. And in the film Speed, the speed bus nearly hit a runaway pram.
That's a little homage back.
Prophetic.
But also, I have got... I know it didn't end very well, but I've got to call out the two kids who played baby Oscar.
He was wonderful.
He was very photogenic, acted his socks off.
And the bit where he was grabbed by the nasty Vigo and he was crying, and just as they obviously did it on purpose, but just as Vigo went, the baby threw his head and arms back and was crying. I was like, awesome acting there, kid. Awesome acting.
But also, could you put him to sleep? Put him down?
Could you put him down? You're short, your belly button sticks out, and you're a terrible burden on your mother, and the baby's looking at you.
I think quite a lot of tapes were used to get the...
I bet, but they chose the best ones.
I still criticise Sigourney Weaver's mothering skills for putting a baby that is already on the move on a bed.
Yeah, he wasn't on the bed. He was asleep. He wasn't on the move at that point. He was asleep.
It doesn't matter. She wasn't in the room with him. He rolls. He's off and on the floor, and he would hurt himself. I know it was the late 70s. No, it wasn't. I know it was late 80s, but she should have known better.
Oh, there was also the budding romance between Lewis Tully and Janine.
Well, she's not so much budding romance as more as...
He got assaulted.
She basically decided...
She brought him out of his shell.
And the most erotic scene in the whole thing is her zipping him up inside.
And he's wearing Egon's jumpsuit, so it's too long in the leg and too long in the arms.
Oh, dear.
Yeah, so he must have changed his sort of profession in between, because in the first film he was an accountant.
He was, yeah.
Yeah, he said he'd done night school.
He became a lawyer.
And then he only specialised in accounting cases.
Yeah. Which makes sense. Oh, but he had no technique for the courtroom at all.
None at all, no. There's Venkman whispering to him what to say.
Yeah. Objection! Leading the witness. No, it should have been objection, witness leading the defence.
Yeah.
I did like the little things like the Titanic arriving.
Yes. Oh, yes.
Better late than
never. What's that, Cheech? Yeah. From Cheech and Chong, one of those two dock workers.
I don't know.
Yeah, Cheech Marin. Yeah.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, it was fun. Like, the first one was fun.
Yeah.
And at the beginning, they're down on their luck. Like you said, they've been sued, etc.
Yeah.
And they're resorting to having to do children's parties. And, of course, the children have all moved on. These are small children who weren't alive when Ghostbusters were around.
Who are you going to call?
Who are you going to call?
He-Man!
Was sort of thing in 89? I don't know, maybe not.
Well, some of those children were, like, 5-6 years old. Yeah. So they wouldn't have...
True.
You know.
In fact, the one that says, "My dad thinks you're full of whatever."
Full of
nasty stuff.
Yeah, that is Jason Reitman, the director's son,
who
went on to direct Afterlife, the recent film.
Blimey.
And he's trying to
keep it in the family. Yeah.
Well, he was a very naughty boy.
Yeah. Yeah. Oh, and the young black guy who greets the Ghostbusters as walking into the building, that's Bobby Brown, that is.
Mm. Okay,
oh, really?
did some of the music.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, we, as we knew we would, we all loved this.
Yeah, it's a lot better than what I remember.
Yeah.
And not that I had bad thoughts about it, but it's still watchable. It still holds together.
But the line from, I can't remember the character's name, the guy who fancied Dana, the curator of the museum.
Josh.
When he comes round, he's been sprayed, and they stand him up, and he's like, "Why am I covered with goo?" Brilliant delivery.
Yeah. I'm not sure what accent that's meant to be. I think he's actually
not
American.
Not at all. Yeah. His name's something like Jack McHale or something.
Yeah.
So
I think it's supposed to be a generic European accent.
I think he's meant to be sort of Vlad the Impaler, sort of Transylvania.
Mm-hmm. Max von Sydow did the voice of Vigo.
Did he?
Yeah.
Mm. Ah.
Yeah. He didn't do the body.
Yeah. Because whereabouts is Carpathia?
Carpathian Mountains is part of Transylvania, which is now the end province of Romania.
Which is where Vlad's Tešov came from.
Right. The Derry girls did the world's most dangerous roads around there.
Across the Carpathians.
That's worth watching just for them.
Yeah.
One of them couldn't actually drive, so the other one was doing all the driving. And she had a little breakdown at one point and had to get out of the car and go and cry behind a tree.
That was the viaduct, the railway bridge. One track.
One track just about as wide as the car with no guardrails.
With a sheer drop either side.
I liked that to start off with the Ghostbusters car.
It was very dirty and smoky and horrible.
Yeah.
And then they managed to actually get the money to make it not nice and clean again.
Yeah.
I think the reason why this one isn't always on people's radar is you've got the Marshmallow Man. There's a lot more imagery in the first one that sticks in your mind than this one.
Which is why they brought the Statue of Liberty to life.
Yeah.
She was a lot friendlier in this than she was in the Angels Take Manhattan.
Yes.
A lot more friendly.
Yeah, one other thing, I mean, it's nice to see a bit more of Winston Zeddemore as well.
Yeah.
Because he was very much token in the first film.
Yeah. Oh, good grief, yeah.
Because his role was reduced, because it was originally going to be
Eddie Murphy.
Eddie Murphy, thank you. But he pulled out, so it got recast and then drastically reduced. Yeah.
He's been in quite a few things recently.
He's had a little resurgence.
Yeah, he was Frost's dad in Rizzoli and Isles.
Yeah. And he's
Admiral.
Also Quantum Leap.
Quantum Leap, he's one of the Magic.
And he's one of those people who's got sexier the older he's got.
I'm not sure about
the best
that.
Of the he's original aged world.
Yeah. I'm not sure about that.
Oh, he has.
I think Sigourney Weaver's aged quite well.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, she's wonderful.
And watching this, I actually said, I am really surprised she didn't get more leading ladies, because you kind of, you got visions of her as this action hit heroine, the alien stuff, but when she's just looking at the screen,
her eyes are beautiful.
She's absolutely dropped.
But like we
gorgeous.
Said last night, she chose the selective. Role she wanted. She's selective about her role.
Thanks
she
to Alien.
She could have just been another beautiful leading lady, sort of swooning over a bloke, but she chose her roles well.
No,
she's got the looks and the acting.
The last thing that myself and Faye Crumbly saw her in was Doc Martin.
Yeah. And we saw her. Really? I don't think we finished watching it. On Netflix, the woman who runs the safe farm for women who have been abused.
Well, it's just that she's done much more sort of guest starring cameos, because Cabin in the Woods.
Yeah.
And also, not Ted, but Paul.
Paul, yes.
Paul. Yeah.
Okay. Never seen that. Okay.
Yeah, she was the security chief, head honcho.
Lorenzo's boss.
Yeah. Head honcho and Paul.
No, she's one of these actors where if she's in it, you know it's not going to be a completely crap film.
She chooses
and even if
her
it is
roles.
A crap film, she's always good.
Christopher Lee said, yes, I have done some very bad films. I've never been bad in them.
Yeah. And if you disagree, you wouldn't have said it to his face. Anyway, we would love to know what you chaps think of Ghostbusters 2. Write to us via show
at
staggeringstories.net.
Oh, well done, you. Fake Crumbly, you don't say much, but when you do, it means something. Right, because we haven't done it for ages.
Last week.
Because we got quite boring. We're going to do a quick round of things in five words.
Ooh.
Shall I go first?
Yeah.
Yep.
We always say it. This is quite an easy one.
Usually not.
Pint puller has folk guessing. Pint Puller Has Folk Guessing.
Oh, yes. In the woman in... Yes.
Come on, you can do it.
I can't remember her name, the character's name.
Name the story.
It's in the Christmas special of Doctor Who.
Yes.
And it was the neighbour downstairs. Yes. That did
Mrs.
the shopping.
Flood.
Mrs. Flood. Yes.
Pint Puller?
Yes, she is.
Angie Watts and EastEnders.
Yeah, yeah. Oh, EastEnders, yeah.
God, did you see
No.
Oh, okay. Adam.
Jodie Whittaker's Cream-Filled Desire.
Custard creams
on Bake Off. Go on, Jean.
Not the Moon, but Home.
Earth?
No.
Not the Moon.
Not the Moon, but Home.
Solar System, Milky Way.
Well off.
Ooh.
TARDIS.
Oh, this is another EastEnders one, isn't it?
Totally wrong programme.
Okay.
This is Alfie Moon from EastEnders.
Yeah.
Oh, so is it the Queen Vic?
No.
Oh.
Moonbase Alpha?
No.
Sorry, did you say it was Doctor Who?
No.
Is it Star Trek?
No.
Star Wars?
It's not sci-fi.
Is it fantasy? Oh.
Not the Moon, but Home.
Not the Moon, but Home.
Button Moon.
Close.
Oh.
Clangers.
Oh! Is it in Ghosts, Moona?
You're even closer.
Oh!
Button House.
Where Ghosts is set.
That's what I said. I said Button House just now and you pointed to him. Did he say it first?
I think so.
Okay.
It's Button House.
Okay, yeah, that's cool. Go on then, you.
She cannot see without these.
Karen!
Glasses?
Yeah, whose?
Oh.
Mine? Oh, Velma!
Oh.
I was going to say, it's a really weird way to insult me.
Oh, yes, a really well way to insult you. This is coming from the woman who spent 10 minutes laughing at me.
Let it go!
But it's not that. It's not. She had a pee break in between. 5 minutes of laughter, pee break, 5 minutes of laughter.
Well, I wouldn't want to pee myself. Crumbly!
Nice, easy one. Japs and Germans go Yankee.
Okay. Nice, easy one, he says.
Is this one in really poor taste by any chance?
No.
Okay. Good.
This is Crumbly, remember?
Is it Man of the High Castle?
Yeah.
Okay. Go on then, fake Crumbly.
Oh, he read the one out I was going to
read. Oh, sorry.
Oh, I'm so sorry.
Crater and base share name.
That's it.
Crater and base share name.
Mm.
Who's someone called Crater? Mister?
No.
David Bowie? Bowie no. Base?
Tranquility?
Boolia?
You're on the right lines.
Ah.
Yes, it's a crater on the moon.
And a base. Tranquility?
No.
Birmingham? There is a crater called Birmingham on the new moon.
On the new moon.
Think of a crater on the moon. Oh, what's the base called in Space
1999?
Moon
no,
Base Alpha.
Alpha.
Yeah.
That's probably not it.
I'm thinking it's a Peanuts related
thing. No, it's not.
No.
Okay. Is it the name of a crater on the moon?
Yeah.
But something that's also a base, but not Tranquility Base.
No. I'll give you a clue.
Go on then.
It's a well-known astronomer.
Uh-huh.
More?
No.
Copernicus?
No.
Oh, right area? Da Vinci?
The astronomer, his other name was it Brahe or Bray?
Jack.
So that's not helping.
What TV Norman. Show was this just a...
No, it's a TV show.
There is...
Got Star Cops. What was the base in Star Cops?
Moon Base.
Nice.
Okay.
We don't know! give us a clue about the programme.
2001.
The Expanse.
Of The Expanse.
Oh.
Oh,
God.
I don't think I've seen that.
No, we don't know.
I'm not up enough on that.
Oh, that's brilliant.
Yeah.
It Go on, then. What amazing. Is it?
Tycho Base.
We would not have got that. If you'd given us a million years and we were just down to making random sounds.
Yes, we would. We've got a map of the moon and
gone through all of them.
Because this famous, I think it was Dutch, Tycho Brahe.
Yeah.
It still means nothing to us.
2001, it's the same place, isn't it?
Oh, it's The Expanse.
TMA1. Yeah.
Anyway, let's go on to... Doctor Who. Pause for music. Today, we're basically, you know, we were at our wit's end. What on earth could we do that matched Ghostbusters? We've already done Ghostlight, and we've done Chime to Midnight, and, you know, they're just the awesome ones. So we decided we would have a discussion, because rumour has it... that there's going to be a story with actual ghosts in it, not...
There is a line, I apologise, that there is a line in the trailer that says things have got more supernatural.
Yeah. Ooh, so okay. We thought we'd have a discussion about the supernatural side of Doctor Who and what we think of it and what we would think about them actually having a real-life ghost.
Well, due to the Toy Maker has appeared, and we had the line, my legions are coming. Mm-hmm. So they're opening the door to more mythical creatures, shall we say. And then we get into the very fine, knotty problem of what defines supernatural in Who. Because we've had things that, to our common sense, would be a supernatural element, but down to the Doctor are some more advanced, arcane forms of science.
Yeah, we've had forms of magic, haven't we?
The demons.
Yeah.
Yep. The ongoing argument between the Doctor and
Miss Hawthorne.
Magic Doctor. Science, Miss Hawthorne.
Because as
we said, if we jump back in time 1,000 years, some of the things we can do, they would think is magic, and then would be burned as witches, which would be embarrassing.
But there's the Arthur C. Clarke motto, any sufficiently advanced science will be indistinguishable from magic.
Yeah.
And any sufficiently advanced magic will be indistinguishable from science.
Yeah. Like programming apps on our television, that's magic.
Lay the altar out the bells and rattles.
Had to sacrifice 6 virgins, and you try finding them in Crawley.
I know.
Talking to a little box over here and he can't see you.
Yeah.
There's a ghost. No, there's a ghost in the box or an elf.
What was the Dar O'Brien? The wall?
He was doing his stand-up thing and he was picking on people in the front row as usual.
Right.
And there was this young guy who had just started an apprenticeship to be an electrician, but he clearly knew nothing. He didn't know the difference between alternating currents and blah, 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 blah. And Dara was kind of picking on him and was talking about how he's going to go back in time one day and tell them about these amazing inventions we've got. Like, we've got this thing that keeps the food cold. Wow, how does it do that? Well, we plug it into the wall. And what else have you got? We've got this box that shows us great things. And
from long distances.
From long distance. Oh, wow. How does that work? Well, you just plug it into the wall. Wow, this wall must be brilliant.
So that tells more about the wall.
You got the misnomers like Army of Ghosts and such.
Yes, it's normally explained away by it's an alien. But then you do have legitimately supernatural typings like telepathy.
Yeah.
Doctor has telepathy.
Yeah. Time lords have low-grade telepathy. You have the TARDIS with the telepathic circuits.
Yeah.
But how do we know that that's also not science? How do
clearly it is
that,
in Doctor.
Yeah, the brain sufficiently advanced that that's just like talking to each other or sign language to each other. To us, that's supernatural and that's magic, but to him, it's just something you do.
Mm. Yeah, it's a lot of this is down to a certain point of view, as with everything.
The best one for this is Hyde.
Yes.
The whole thing with Hyde was on literally a ghost hunt. You know, they had all the paranormal detector stuff out and they're looking for hot spots and cold spots and everything else, and it just turned out to be two lovesick aliens stuck in the wrong dimension.
Slightly parallel dimension.
Yes.
Yeah.
How would we all feel if a story comes up where it is an actual ghost? Because we haven't had that in Doctor Who. There's always been some explanation. But what if it is an actual ghost?
Well, we have had that to a certain extent. I mean, there was the Villa de
Diodati.
Thank you. The two figures that kept on following Graham around.
This wasn't explained. But they were kind of background.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
What if it's focused on this thing?
I wouldn't have a problem with it because you can't really say, well, I accept one form of fantasy, which is all these aliens and that what we think they might be, but I'm not taking another form of fantasy, which is much more earthbound and closer linked to us.
The Doctor himself in The Two Doctors, when he was misquoting the Bard, said there are more things in heaven and earth that are dreamed of in your barren philosophy. Why you had to chuck Baron in there?
Going slightly off piece, Who was it who wrote the Stone Tape?
Nigel Neill.
Nigel Neill. Yeah. That was pretty much a ghost story, but
science again.
Well, yeah, science. Yeah, it was explained by science. You know, saying the house.
Some people are Betamax and some are VHS.
Yeah.
You had the whole gothic era of Doctor Who.
Yeah.
And that kind of dipped its toe a bit in that kind of cult chanting
and stuff like that.
And that kind of stuff. And there's actually been quite a bit more of it in the reboot than first. You've got the ghost in the Dickens story and...
But that wasn't a ghost.
But it's kind of like dipped its toes in more gothic sort of like paranormal area. But as you say, it's always come out with a reason for
rational explanation.
I think it would actually be... It would be different if they had a... Almost as if they had a story where it was setting you up that this is an alien, you know, and at the end of it...
The twist is
it isn't.
It's... actually Jock who died at the beginning.
Yeah. it leaves you hanging where you can say actually that was a ghost or that wasn't.
Yeah. Mm. Something would be interesting. It's something that the Doctor can't explain.
Yeah.
Other than
leave you kind of wondering at the end. And it's not explained. By science.
Well, we had the Beast from Impossible Planet and I can't remember. Who claimed that he was from beyond the universe, which the Doctor just couldn't believe.
Yeah.
I won't necessarily say he questioned that. He just couldn't believe it because it was against his science, his beliefs.
I don't know why, though. It seemed a bit artificial because we've had stuff from potential before universes before.
Yeah.
So why the Doctor had a problem with that, I have no idea. It's convenient for the plot, I think.
Oh, that's the trouble. A lot of this is convenient for the plot.
And that's my problem with this whole idea of we're suddenly going into supernatural. What ultimately is the difference between a supernatural being and one which is just an alien?
Mm.
It's just, if it is confirmed to be a real thing, it's just another type of science. You haven't quite understood it yet.
Yeah.
There's nothing inherently different about it.
But if, for example, your great-great-grandfather suddenly appeared in front of us, it would be something just so different.
But it wouldn't be that different compared to what Doctor Who's done before. They've always had ghosts and things like that, but just explained away in a very convenient way.
Yeah.
In fact, you can't immediately explain it. It doesn't mean it isn't real, and therefore if it is real, then what's the difference?
Is it something that we just can't get our brains around yet?
It has to be some structure to it. You can't just have random things happening for no reason. There's got to be some logic to it. And if there's logic to it, then there's science.
Exactly. That's what makes it so fascinating. Because if they did decide to go for one with what appears to be a ghost, what would that say about the soul? And for some viewers, how much would that piss them off?
Well, does it say anything about the soul, or is it just we haven't quite explained the way, but somehow the consciousness has been trapped in the environment?
What's the difference between consciousness and soul? Is it the same thing come at from different angles?
So this is an interesting factor, because also Russell T, who's in charge of everything, the last stop, the command, word of God, is a self-confessed atheist.
Which I think makes it easier for him to write that sort of thing.
Yeah.
Because he's not got little voices at the back of his head telling him that what he's doing is wrong.
He's not got the hang-ups.
We've had the situation where, I know it's not who, but we had Torchwood, where Jack has no inklings of heaven on the multiple times he's died. Owen felt nothing except for he was trapped in a small cube.
The thing is, ghosts aren't exactly the exclusive remit of religion.
Oh.
I mean, ghosts have been around a lot longer than we've had kind of religion around. Or they have featured in various different religious groups. So heaven and hell and that kind of stuff and ghosts are two totally separate different things terms of timelines. I think the interesting one would be if you had something like the Dickens one with the stuff.
Unquite Dead.
And you had something where, you obviously had a negative force around and then you had a positive force. If one of those forces was easily identifiable and then the other one wasn't.
But again, what difference does that make to the story?
It depends on... It throws in that question. It depends on how the story's done. If you had the Mrs. Hawthorne bit, everything isn't explained by science and that's the theme, that's the running theme of the story, and then everything's explained by science... except for that one last bit.
But everything can be explained because we know what's caused it. It's the toy maker, who seems to have unlimited power, and he's just done weird things with his power.
But what if there's this one little thing that's not the toy maker, and then it's going to lead us into a whole new thing? But just for that moment, just for that episode, you've got everything the toy maker's doing, and you know that's what the toy maker's doing. But then there's that one extra thing that just doesn't quite fit, doesn't belong there. You can't explain it.
It's like Graham's ghosts.
What's Graham's ghost?
From Villa Diodati. It doesn't really add anything.
But it would if it was leading on to a whole other story. Point. And it's just that's where you first encounter it.
I just don't see how that's any different to just having the toy maker with his unlimited powers.
Because that's easily explainable. That's the toy maker. But we want something that you can't explain.
But there's nothing. It's just unexplained. Doesn't mean it's inexplicable.
Explain EastEnders to me. How has that lasted 40 years?
When did you start quoting Doctor Who at
The fact you can't explain to that story doesn't mean that...
But this is interesting on its own, because you're an atheist. Mm-hmm. I don't think you care that anyone knows that.
No.
And I'm not an atheist.
Mm-hmm.
And I can't understand how you don't understand that some things, it could just be unknown for the sake of it. It's almost as if you being an atheist, you're everything's got a reason.
Yeah.
But me with my fraction of doubt in my brain is...
Fraction?
Yeah, all right. Everything does have a reason apart from that.
I think anything which apart from that is just limitation in our science. It's not...
See, this
is not beyond science. There's nothing beyond science. Everything can be explained.
But this is the thing. If you say it's just a limit, that one thing, for argument's sake, that's in the toy makers, what's it that doesn't make sense?
Yeah.
Again, if what you say is, if we go with that, that's just some science that even the toy maker doesn't understand.
Yeah.
This means, looking at that way of thinking, you're saying that there can be no such thing as ghosts, because everything is just something that...
I'm not saying that ghosts don't exist, because... Perhaps they do, but it hasn't been proven.
Watched Ghosts?
If they are proven to exist, then there's some mechanism, there's some science behind it.
Again, science behind ghosts.
There's always something underneath it. There's fundamentals behind everything.
That's the thing. I think if they did do something like that in the programme, so let's say they had the Brigadier at the very, very beginning. Partway through the story, the Brigadier gets killed, and the bad guys are winning and they're all supernatural and there is a force that's helping, and at the end of it, it's like it's the essence of the Brigadier that's been helping them. It would be interesting to leave it in such a way where, is it a ghost or is it something that science hasn't proven yet? If the Doctor doesn't figure it, you all know what it is. There's no question or doubt of what energy source this thing has come from.
How has it come there?
And the Doctor doesn't get it, and you have that dichotomy between, is it actually a ghost or is it a ghost but we haven't explained how it existed? And I think that would be the way to go with it, because then that's both camps are covered. Oh, well, yes, it's definitely a ghost. Oh, well, no, it's actually the life form essence that's captured by the so-and-so protocols in, but the Doctor can't answer it.
It is a fascinating situation to be in, because, you know, like you said, anything, if you think about it long enough, will be explained by science. We just need to work out what the science is.
It is. And a lot of it we will never understand as species, I'm sure. Mm. There's so many things we don't understand.
Yeah, of course. But in 10,000 years, for example...
If we survive that long,
will we have worked out the science behind spirits?
All ghosts are made up of ghost particles, and they're looking for the ghost particles.
Yeah. Ultimately, there has to always be some kind of scheme, like in properly formed magic in sort of like Rivers of London.
Yeah.
There is underlying science to the magic.
Yeah.
Psychic resonance and that kind of stuff.
They are somehow working within the rules of physics, although they just don't understand it, how it works, but there is some order to it. But yeah, I don't know. I don't know how this really helps Doctor Who.
It's a different way of coming at a story.
Yeah, but does it matter the Doctor can't explain it?
I mean, it matters, because the Doctor can pretty much explain anything.
Well, there's plenty of times
if we had a series of stories where he didn't know what the bloody hell was going on or how to deal with it, that would be fascinating.
So I am reminded of Tooth and Claw, when he first saw the werewolf.
Yes.
Oh, that's beautiful! Yeah. It's something he's never seen, never experienced before.
Yeah, that could be good. Yeah.
It would depend on the writer. If Russell T. wrote something something like this, or Moffat wrote something like this, I would trust it completely. Mm. I would know I would love the story.
Yeah, but I can see Moffat really working well in this. He does God, spooky really well.
Yeah. He does, yeah.
Ghost stories and ghosts in TV and films come in kind of like three categories. You get the funny ghost, as in Bly's spirit, ghost the TV series. Mm-hmm. You get the evil ghosts who turn up in horror movies. And then you get the one that's in the middle, which is more the ghost than Mrs. Muir. It's a human being, or ghost of human being, that's carrying on in the way they were. Yeah. So it's almost like a ghostly normal run. So a lot of it would depend on which way they wanted to go. Mm-hmm. I think if they went to the evil horror aspect, it'd be too easy to make it into a monster, and it's just another form of monster.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I think you'd need to go to either the Bly spirit, the comic spectrum, or the mid-ground, the kind of like ghost spectrum.
You could go with the evil one, but it's not really evil. It's a ghost who doesn't know they're dead. So it's frustration. It's like poltergeist.
Mm. Like the teacher in Harry Potter. Just keeps on teaching the class. But I think, because the Doctor Who is so science-based, I mean, there's been a lot...
It's science fantasy.
Yeah. It's based around science rather than supernatural TV series, which is based around the supernatural.
Yeah.
It would be interesting to actually have a story that totally challenged that.
Yeah, agreed.
And did not, at the end of it, get answered by science.
Yeah,
that's something different for the programme. Every time there's been anything that like that come up, there's been an answer at the end.
Yeah. But there still is, though, because they've already been given the answer, and it's the toy maker. So.
Well, it doesn't have to... Forget the toy maker. Forget the toy maker.
Let's do it outside of the toy maker series.
But we've already been given that. The toy maker's, his minions are coming in.
The Doctor goes along, he defeats the toy maker's minions, the black and white guardians come along and put the whole universe back into balance, and the toy maker's in his little box in a bottle, and he's not involved in it at all.
Yeah, we've moved forward a season. I would be happy if we had several stories in a row where it looks like it's all supernatural. It's a supernatural story. I wouldn't want it to be like that from now on.
No. Mm-hmm.
That would completely change Doctor Who. But a few stories where, it's ghosts kind of cool.
I can see...
The kind of like gothic era we had for that one season of Reign of Morbius.
I can see where Adam's coming from, as in the fact that, okay, as you've just said, the toy maker is put back in the bottle, the door has been closed, everything's been sealed.
Mm.
How comes the ghosts are there then?
Well, this is not for
But the toy maker has said, it may not be down to the toy maker, but the door to toy maker's realm has been accessed and his legions are coming. So therefore, anything supernatural now is down to that access.
Yeah.
Why? That's happening now.
Yeah.
These were here before.
Yeah, but everything at the moment, before the toy maker, everything was science-based. There's no ghosts. There's no access to the supernatural as the supernatural is meant to be in myth. Okay?
Mm.
Because the toy maker has then opened the door. The access from it has come from the toy maker's dimension.
I know,
but that doesn't
saying,
mean to say what you're encountering. That's like saying, oh, well, someone's discovered an alien on an alien planet, so all aliens are related to this one alien on this one alien planet.
If I may say, okay, yes, that is fine. Why hasn't it happened before then?
Well, this is the thing. The way you're talking about, I understand what you're saying, but before the toy maker, just because the Doctor hasn't come across these things doesn't mean they don't exist.
For the conscience of the show as it stood, perhaps they didn't. That is the point.
Mm. Yeah, I don't like looking at that. I think that, they're here. He and she have just never come across them.
If you start thinking along that way, lines, you're closing down a lot of avenues for stories.
I don't think you are, because Doctor's always had these supernatural beings. Sometimes explained, sometimes not. Like the Guardians, not really explained what they are. Well, the Toy Maker, there's incredible power. They may as well be deities.
Yeah, but we know they're not ghosts. They're just...
Well, what's a ghost? What's a demon? What's a deity? Whatever it is.
Yeah. It's fascinating, this. I'm glad we decided to speak about this. Anyway, we've waffled on for a long time.
And come up with no results.
Which is awesome. No. So we would like to know your thoughts on all that crap we've just said.
Do ghosts exist?
Right, yes, they do.
I have been in the same room with a ghost.
I've had several ghost encounters.
Erwin is sitting on the stairs now. Yeah.
When I was out in Maine, my sister lived out there. I went to stay with family who were in an old house. It'd been there all the time, the 200-odd years. And they said, if you ever feel anything, don't worry, it's family. So one night I stayed there in the living room on the settee. House is sealed up, mind, because it's winter. So there's no breezes, no winds, no nothing like that. The dog is with me laid by my in front of the settee. And he looks up and it made me turn over and look. And the rocking chair... He's rocking, like someone is just rocking away, just come sit with me, and it just felt like that someone was just watching me, wondering who I am.
Well, when we were in Edinburgh and we went on the tour of the Undercity, where people were caved in or bricked in when the plague was in town, and Keith is sceptical about all this sort of thing. He really, you know, I think deep down he thinks anyone who believes in ghosts is a nutter. And we're in this cave, and again, no breeze, nothing, and they're talking about how the small children used to sleep down there, and he's tapped me on the shoulder, and he said... It feels like someone's holding onto my leg, and he had a cold patch around his thigh as if a toddler has just attached themselves to him. And considering toddlers attached themselves to him in life, because, you know, they see a sort of kindred spirit.
Like-minded.
Yeah. It wouldn't surprise me at all if a little ghost toddler hadn't just gone, oh, I'll hold your leg. Anyway, write to us via show.
At staggering.
Stories.
Dot.
Net.
Woo-hoo. Any feedback?
Well, because we're recording this a week earlier than we would be, I doubt
More
if we've
9 days early, yeah.
9 days early. Mm. The poor Sorry. Little person is don't know to write to us.
The previous podcast has not gone out yet.
But should we still say 1, 2, 3
Hello, Hello Pertwee!
Yes, we should.
Hello, Nebula. Hello, Inky McSquirts a lot. Folded up and leant against a radiator, Clara.
Fascist Spock.
Dave the Mighty!
Dave Zilla the Mighty! Yeah. Terrence!
Hello, Terrence!
And a Moomin stuffed up in a corner.
Yes, dear listeners, we have had a brain fart and we have recorded this nearly 9 days earlier than we normally record, so...
Yes, so apologies for any feedback, which clearly didn't make it in time.
Please, please send us feedback that we can read when we get back into our normal routine.
Double the feedback next time.
Hopefully.
Lead us out crumbly.
And so, dear listeners, that brings us to the end of another podcast. But never fear, in the next one there'll be more of the same. More fun, frivolity and jollity. More news and reviews. More who old and new. So until that...
G for ghost. Giggling...
Ghastly.
Ghastly.
Grotesquely.
Comes galumping...
gaily.
Towards us.
Greedily.
Gigantically.
Ooh. This is me, Crumbly Sam, be seeing you.
Bye.
Farewell.
Goodbye.
Au revoir.
He slimed me.
That's very good. You have been listening to the Staggering Stories podcast, series 1, number 443, featuring Adam Purcell, Andy Simpkins, Fake Keith, Gene, Fake Crumbly, and the real Keith Dunn. Views expressed here are those of the speakers and don't necessarily represent those of the other speakers on the site. No copyright infringement is intended, and this is an El Presidente production for www.staggeringstories.net.
Testing, 1, 2, 3
Yeah, getting something.
Well, you know, it's going to be difficult with
the
way she doesn't stop talking.
I'm the ghost.
Right. No, that's wrong. Words went away.
Left. As we know...
We should start with Psytown.
Yeah.
It's respect.
Okay.
I was just trying to find that one.
Do you want to find him on the interweb?
I haven't got him on the interweb.
It's funny, the interweb, you can find anything. They don't just give you one thing you can find.
I don't want to dominate.
All right.
I'm just looking it up.
Talk amongst yourselves. Doopy 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 doo. Doo 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 doo. Doopy doo 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 doo. Doopy doopy doo.
Oh, sorry.
Right. In which he is also playing.
Use your words.
Now, speaking of birthdays, we have been watching Ghostbusters 3.
How does that tie
in? It doesn't.
Three?
Pause for me.
Three, two,
I'll do that. I'll do that again.
Is that going to pick up? Is the microphone going to pick up the zip?
Probably.
It's my birthday. I can do what I want.
Sorry, I've stopped. All the way through, you were playing.
I don't care. I'm not editing it.
It might sound like someone's doing their trousers up and down.
We'll say it's crumbly. You've taken your sticky thing off your head.
Yes, I have.
Oh, okay.
Yes, as I was saying just before we started recording, myself and Fake Crumbly started watching Ghostbusters last night. But somebody fell asleep about 20 minutes into it.
Yeah, I didn't see much, unfortunately.
Was it too scary for you?
No.
She'd had a busy day. Yeah.
Started nothing.
I mean, to show how much my wife was completely soundo, after I finished watching Ghostbusters 2, I found a documentary all about the rock band Motorhead, and I was watching that, playing it very loudly.
And I didn't hear anything.
My beloved wife was lying next to me.
Doctor Who. Pause for music.
Pardon?
What?
So?
Hey?
What?
B?
What?
Doctor Who, it's a programme. Started in 1963. You've seen a couple of episodes.
Okay.